good to be here. Jesus is real and he is alive.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at encounters which happen as a result of Jesus' resurrection. However, instead of just looking at the people involved, we're going to be looking also at the emotions and how they reacted to this event, to seeing Jesus resurrected. I mean, how would we respond when something we weren't expecting actually happened? First thing I want to make clear is God created our emotions. Emotions in themselves are not a bad thing. Sometimes they lead us to places that are bad because we've allowed them to go to some place they're not supposed to, or God didn't intend. But emotions are actually a gift for us, and they can take us to some place good. Like I said, unfortunately, sometimes we allow our emotions to take us to places that aren't good. In our sunrise service this morning, we looked at fear and anxiety and how sometimes that will drive people away, or fear sometimes will cause people to want to try to control the situation. You're afraid, and fear, what tells you is, hey, there's a problem. You know, if you hear a large lion roaring behind you and you just left the zoo, fear will well up inside of you. And beyond this emotion, all these other things like adrenaline will kick in, and you realize, as long as I run faster than RJ, I will be fine. Maybe that's not the right emotion I'm supposed to have. Maybe as the pastor, I'm supposed to stand there and make sure RJ gets away. I don't know. But fear in the wrong sense causes us to want to be in control. Sometimes trying to be in control means we don't exercise control. Sometimes it means we are sort of become like, well, what the term we use is control freaks. We want to try to control everything. Why? Because we're afraid things get out of control. But fear, as God gave it to us, can lead to wisdom. Fear will tell you, hey, guess what? You're in trouble. You need help. And it can drive you into a show you that you need to have a relationship, usually with other people and definitely with God, that can help you. And so, as we saw this morning, fear drove the guards to first collapse and just sort of pretend like, I'm dead, you just ignore me. Your big guy, he's able to move this stone away, shines like lightning. Yeah, they didn't know how to react to this, so let's react like every rational person should. Act like a bunny rabbit, because that always works so well for them. And the disciples, and they at first they were afraid, but then it caused them to get in that relationship with God, and things changed. The women at first were afraid, but then it turned into gladness, joy. And joy is something we usually think of as a good emotion. We like feeling joy. I mean, I don't think anybody in here would say, I want to be miserable all the time. Anybody like that? We'll pray for you after the service. Well, most of us, we want joy. We want gladness. We want something in our lives that tells us that life is fulfilling, that it has a purpose, that it's doing good things are happening. We like that feeling. And for the women on this day, they all of a sudden, they saw the resurrected Christ. At first they were afraid. They were afraid when they went out because they thought, what are we going to do? When we look at the account in Mark, Mark says the women went out and they were like, well, let's at least do what we can. We'll try to anoint the body, but who's going to move that huge stone? And Mark says it was a very large stone. And at first they were afraid, but then Jesus came. And that's the thing, when Jesus came and they got into that relationship with him, then their hearts were filled with joy. Their hearts were filled with joy. Gladness and joy. Happiness, though happiness usually happens to do, as the word, root word is happenstance. Happiness can come and go, but we want something that sticks around. But there is a danger with joy. There's a danger with gladness. Chip Dodd in his book, Voices from the Heart, says, we want to feel gladness or joy can turn into the desire to want more of this. So we seek entertainment. Or sometimes we reject it, saying, this is too good for me. We see that in the disciples' reaction in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 41. Scripture says, and while they were still talking, Jesus himself stood among them, said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do your doubts arise in your minds? I'm with the disciples on this one. I saw you dead. Now you're standing in front of me. Yes, I would have been confused too. That's the normal human thing. I don't blame the disciples. I'd have been right there too. I wish I could have said, oh yeah, I paid attention the whole time. I heard you and I believed every word you said before it all happened. But I know me, it wouldn't have been the case. I'd have been with the disciples. Of course, they wouldn't have had glasses, but he says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. See, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had said this, he showed his hands and feet. And while they were still did not believe because of joy and amazement. Wow. They're a joy, they're overwhelmed with joy, but it's just like it was too good to be true. So it can't really be happening. Sometimes that's the way it happens with gladness. We get this and it's like, oh, this may be good, but I can't take this. It's just not for me. It's not good enough. I'm not good enough. Or this just is too good to be true. So they reject it. And miss out. But gladness is emotion that tells us that things can go right. We've all had times in our lives where things didn't go right. About 2 weeks ago, things didn't go right for a lot of people. They were sitting at home, everything going fine, or maybe they were sitting, some of you I know were sitting in the school, and all of a sudden your phone told you things weren't going well. And then somebody got up when authority says, we're all going to go into these rooms that you haven't been in for some of you for years, the locker rooms, and we're hopefully are going to be safe. And then you went home. There was no joy. But then all of a sudden, for some of you, people came by and help was there. And you felt that joy, that gladness, because you realized, hey, you know what? Things can go right. Things can get better. Luke continues. He said, when he said these things, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of the joy of man, he asked them, do you see anyone have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. And he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. Messiah will suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. For the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hand and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he lifted them and was taken up into heaven. And they worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continued in the temple, praising God. Jesus allowed them to feel this emotion, but you know what? He didn't just leave them with this emotion of gladness. He gave them something to go with it. It was a mission, a purpose. Something more than just, I feel good. That song went through my, I feel good now. Yeah, well, great, now what? The song's over, now what? Well, let's sing it again. And the problem with sometimes with wanting this gladness and feel this feeling of gladness, the problem we get sometimes is like, we want to feel it all the time. We want to feel good all the time. Therefore, we seek entertainment or we seek some sort of thing that can fill that spot in our heart so we can try to feel good all the time. The thing is, Jesus can give us joy, gladness, when we take on his purpose, where we can feel gladness even in the midst of sadness. Because gladness without a mission, well, it's kind of just entertainment. And I enjoy entertainment. Entertainment has its purposes. You remember God told these people to feast, to have a party. So God's not against us having a good time. He enjoyed it. Actually, here's an inside information. He created us to be able to feel joy, feel goodness, to feel gladness. He wants us to be able to enjoy that. But if that's all we seek is that feeling of good, then we're missing out on what gladness is really there for. There are times when we people, like I said, want to fill their lives with other things, with things that are sensual or sexual or something that makes them feel good. Sometimes if they can't get another things, they'll try drugs to just try to give themselves that moment of gladness, of happiness, of euphoria. But the problem is, without some sort of mission, without some sort of purpose, Those moments pass. And we're left with just a memory of a good moment, of nothing else. But God wants to give us something more. Joy and gladness is this wonderful feeling that when we take with God and use with God can actually help us when things go bad. Because when we are living out God's mission, our joy cannot just be temporary, but it can actually fill us. So we can even have this sense of joy, this deeper joy than just that temporary gladness that can last even when things go bad. Paul says this, that our joy can be fulfilled in Romans chapter 15, verses 13. And Jesus promises the same thing in John chapter 15, verse number 11. So today, let's not just seek gladness, but let's seek the purpose God has given us so that our joy can be filled. These emotions are a good thing. We're going to look at several over the next few weeks. We don't have to live in fear, but that fear can lead us to wisdom. We don't have to just have moments of gladness that we just try to hold on to, but we can have a gladness that can remind us that God can do good things and has a good purpose and wants to give us good things. We can be reminded of His goodness. That we can have something in Christ that is lasting. In the tradition of the church in the past, over the many millennia over the church, often people would make that commitment. They would accept the mission to become part of the body of Christ. And what would happen is, during the season of Lent, they would prepare their hearts. They would study the catechisms. They would learn the ways and the things of the church. And then on Easter Sunday, the pastor, the priest would get up and say, "We have those who wish to join with us." And today, we have that privilege. So if our new members would come forward today. You can look this way if you like.
That's good.
Because the words will be easier to read up here. Not to mention, I won't be talking to you, so I want to see the eyes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated through the Christ body of the church, Holy Church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. And we are given to the birth through the water and the Spirit. All this is a gift of God, offered to us without price. I present to you these coming seeking profession of membership in Selma Christ Church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the forces of wickedness, reject evil persons of the world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and the power from God gives you to resist evil and oppression, injustice, in whatever forms it may present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church with Christ has opened and provided to all ages, nations, and races? Do you, the church, to you as the body of Christ, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, including these persons who've come before you today? Let us pray together. With God's help, we will reclaim the good news, live according to the example of Christ, and we will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We pray for them that we may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together the profession of the Christian faith contained in both the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
As members of the Christ Church Universal, will you be loyal to Christ through Selma Christ Church, the Global Methodist Church, and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry? As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in the ministries by prayer, presence, and your gifts, in service and in your witness? As members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Let us pray. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. We welcome you into the Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ, in the congregation of the Global Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness, and everything. God, and be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us stand and let's come forward and greet these new members into our church today.